Romans chapter 12, we're looking at our final gift of the Spirit today. We've been in this series for several weeks now, looking at the different gifts of the Spirit. And so we have two lessons left. We're going to have this lesson on the gift of faith, and then we'll have a lesson on, we're going to put them all together, and I'll put them all together for one more lesson next week, really just to show how they all work together and how they're all needed and et cetera. And so I forgot my clicker this morning. So when we get to the blanks on the second page there, I'll just have to read them to you, and you'll have to fill them in without the slides. It just, things are a little hectic this morning, and I forgot my clicker in my office. So, all right, let's look at Romans 12 is where we'll start today. And again, the gift of faith is not mentioned in Romans 12, but the gifts in general are. And then we'll look over at 1 Corinthians 12 and see the gift of faith actually mentioned there. But I like to look at Romans 12, and I know you probably have this, you could probably say this by now every week. We've read these verses, but the point is, this is where we get the purpose of the gift, and we don't want to explore the gift without looking at that purpose. So Romans 12, let's look at verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So here in this passage here, we get the purpose of it is that God puts us all in a body, the body of Christ, differing members with differing gifts. But the purpose of having differing members and differing gifts is that all the functions of the church are able to go forward. And so he mentions some of the gifts there, really the practical ones, ministry, and which is serving, prophecy, teaching, faith. I'm sorry, not faith, teaching, exhortation, ruling, and mercy he mentions here. But go over to 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll see where the gift of faith is mentioned. 1 Corinthians 12. And the reason I like to look at both, in Romans 12, it's only practical gifts that are still being used today. When we look at 1 Corinthians 12, he's mentioning kind of all of the gifts, and so he mentions some practical gifts. He also mentions some miracle-type gifts or signs and wonders gifts that were being misused in the church in Corinth, and so he's correcting them on that. And we've already gone over that, too, in here. That was our very first lesson on the spiritual gifts, was to distinguish between those signs and wonders gifts, which are not being used today, from the practical gifts that are. So there's mentioning of both here, just to let you know. 1 Corinthians 12, go down to verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And then here's our gift for today, to another faith by the same Spirit. So it's interesting here, and we'll pray in just a second, and we'll look at the gift of faith, particularly today. But notice again in 1 Corinthians that there's these diversities of gifts. There's different gifts. We're all gifted differently, but it's the same Spirit. There's a diversity of administrations. There's different jobs that are going to be done in a church, but it's the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And by the way, we need all of them. We need all of the gifts in the local church. There's so many different things that have to be done, and one person is not going to be gifted to do all those things. And so we have VBS this week. And one of the places, just an easy place to see all the gifts being used is at VBS, because there's so many things going on at VBS, from the preaching and teaching, which is the focus, hopefully, of VBS. But then you have those that are going to serve the children. They're going to serve the food, and they're going to clean the building. There's going to be some that If a kid skins their knee in one of the games, there's going to be a bunch of guys standing around looking at them. There's going to be one person that cares and has that gift of helps or that gift of mercy and is going to minister to the child that way. And so we'll see that even this week, we'll see on display a lot of different things happening. If you're all in a room, and again, I'm going to try to bring all these together next week, but if you're all in a room at VBS and the punch gets spilled on the floor, I'm just telling you there's a certain group of people that are going to act to clean up that spill. And it's going to be those that are gifted that way, or those that maybe they're not gifted that way, but just know that it needs to be done for sure. But anyway, we'll see those on display this week, and we'll see how all the different gifts have to be there. And also for VBS, you have to have the gift of craziness, which is in a different book. It's not in the Bible. But anyway, you kind of have to have that, which you'll probably see your pastor having this week. Let's pray. We'll look at the gift of faith. Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, just as I was reading and reflecting on the sermons today, Lord, just your graciousness and your goodness to us is overwhelming. And Lord, we don't deserve it. We thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for caring for us. Lord, this morning, I just want to pray that you'd be with us all day. Lord, we have Sunday school here, and we have a morning service. We have an afternoon service. Lord, we have the whole day to worship you through singing, through our praises, through praying. We have opportunities a few times today to hear from your word and to let your spirit really minister to our hearts. And God, I just pray that your will be done throughout the whole day. Be with us now in Sunday school. Help us, Lord, as we learn from your word. We thank you for that. And I just pray you'd be with me today as I teach and preach, that you just give me the words to say. And Lord, fill me with your spirit, I pray. And help me, Lord, to have the exact words. Lord, just to clearly explain the truth of the scripture. That's what we need. And so I pray for that. Lord, pray for clarity and just focus today. And Lord, that you'd help us. God, would you meet with us? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in your notes there, I hope you got notes. If I didn't have enough, then if you catch me afterwards, I'll be happy to print you another one. But in your notes there, the introduction, the gift of faith is a special endowment for Christian service. It must be distinguished from saving faith or the faith that is the mark of the walk of every child of God. And that's the first point I want to make this morning is, every Christian must have faith, right? The Bible says this, for without faith it is impossible to please God. It also says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that of yourselves it is the gift of God, and not of yourselves it is the gift of God. So we all have to have faith. If we're going to be saved, if we're going to be believers, well, we have to believe. We have to have faith. And so just the gift of faith is a distinguished faith. That is a little bit different, or maybe a little bit deeper or bigger than the faith that all of us must have. So I just want to say, you can't say, well, I don't have the gift of faith, so I don't have to believe in anything. No, we all know that to be saved, we've got to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we've got to believe in the scriptures, and we got to believe in God, and we all are required to have faith to live in our daily lives. So it's distinguished from that saving faith or the faith that we must all have as children of God. The gift of faith, continued here in your notes, is the faith that manifests itself in unusual deeds of trust. This person has the capacity to see something that needs to be done and to believe God will do it through him, even though it looks impossible. Most Christian ministries have been started by men and women who possess the gift of faith. So there are certain people who have such faith in God that they can sort of see ahead. They have a vision for what God is wanting to do, and they can believe God and trust God for what's going to happen. Or in their daily life, maybe they have a really serious, overwhelming burden or problem, and rather than being pessimistic and sort of doomsday about it, they're the type that's going to be very optimistic. Oh, I can't wait to see how the Lord is going to handle this one. And so they're just able to have more faith. And there's probably people in your life that you know that are like this, especially if you're not like this. If you tend to be the person that worries and frets and is always concerned and has sort of a negative outlook on every situation, that's probably not indicative of the gift of faith. And if you're like that, there's probably people in your life that may even annoy you because they come along and they just say, no, God's going to handle that. And I know that God's got an answer for that. And they seem to always be very optimistic, sort of able to trust things that you're having difficulty trusting. You might think about the Old Testament. There's so many examples of faith in the Bible, of course. So because, every believer that's in the Bible has faith. But just think about Gideon. You know, he started with some 30,000 soldiers. And the Lord looked down and said, you know what? There's too many there. Remember the story? They're going to go against the Midianites. And Midianites are innumerable grasshoppers, like thousands and thousands of them. And the Lord looks down and says, there's too many of them. So one of the requirements Gideon had was to go to him and just say, hey, if you're afraid, just leave. Like, if you don't want to do this, just go on. If you're afraid, any of you that are they're afraid, just leave. And like 20, if I'm remembering right, 22,000 people left. They didn't have faith. They're like looking at the enemy. The enemy is quite large. And now Gideon's whittling down. And so as one person starts to leave, the next person goes, man, that's one less guy. And as 100 leave, man, that's 100 less guys. And it looks like they're all staying on their side. And so you might see even in that story, some that just sort of had faith and stayed with Gideon and others that went on home. And so there's examples like that throughout the Bible. I gave you the definition here as, and this is just my definition, so it's not a perfect definition, but the gift of faith is the special ability to lay claim on the promises of God through prayer and trust Him in the face of overwhelming obstacles and human responsibility. So let's look at a couple examples. Look at the book of Acts, chapter number 11. And like I said, the Bible is honestly just full of various examples of exercised faith. And we're thankful for those that are gifted with the gift of faith because they help everyone with their faith. They're the ones that are so encouraging. They come along and they trust God to do a work. And then they see that work done. And I have a real life example that I'm going to give you in just a moment of someone that I believe, I haven't even asked him, but I believe that he probably has the gift of faith. Acts chapter 11 and verse number 22. We're going to see just someone who, let's just read Acts 11, verse 22. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which are at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. So what's happening here is the church is really exploding. It's in a good way. It's growing. But there's persecution also that scatters the disciples. And if you remember, God used persecution to really spread the church. And so they were all kind of huddled up there in Jerusalem, and God began to allow persecution, a couple different waves of it, and each one of those waves pushed the church farther into the areas that God said. And so people are being added to the Lord, but there's also persecution. And so someone like Barnabas comes forward, and he's encouraging them to cleave unto the Lord. Verse 24, he had a good outlook on things. He was a good man, verse 24, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So in a really pivotal time of church history, a lot of things going on, actual persecution, people trying to destroy the church, Barnabas comes along, and he has faith. He can see what God's doing. He can see that God's going to be victorious. And so he encourages people to stay with the Lord, cleave unto the Lord. And the result of that, his faith, it says in verse 24, is that much people was added unto the Lord. Now look over at Acts 27. And, simply, so we could talk about what faith is and define it. We could say it's believing in the things that we cannot see, right? Or that we we cannot know or maybe prove. I could say this though, we could just make the definition very simple. It's just believing God, right? Just believing God. Faith, simply, just believing God. Look at Acts 27 and verse 21. We have Paul giving some folks an I told you so. And so he says in verse 21,
But after a long abstinence, that means Paul held his tongue for a long time. He had told them, hey, we shouldn't get in this boat and go because there's storms and we're going to be in trouble. And he told them, don't do this. Well, they did it anyway. So he's in the boat. They're about to be shipwrecked. He's holding his tongue for a long time. And in verse 21, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, this is the King James way of saying, I told you so, right here. You should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. That's I told you so. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. How are they going to be of good cheer? They already thrown all the wares off the ship. They've lightened the ship. They're in survival mode. He says, be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. He says, no one's going to die here, but this ship is going down. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So he says, this angel's come to me and said, hey, no one's going to die, but the ship is going to go down. You have to go to Caesar. You're going to get there. And all the men on the ship I've given you to go with you. So Paul says, be of good cheer. Verse 25, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, when you look at that story, you say, well, sure, you believe God. An angel of the Lord came to him, told him everything. But have you ever been in a ship in the midst of a sea that is being shipwrecked and is going down? As I think about all the scary things on earth that frighten me the most, perhaps that's one of them. Being in the dark ocean somewhere in a boat that's failing and going down and just knowing, hey, you're going to get it. You're going to go into the deep here pretty soon. But here's Paul and he says, no, I believe God. He's not fretting. He says, be of good cheer. Boys, grab something to float on because you're going to need it. But you're not going to die. The ship's going down, but we will be saved. And in verse 26, of course, he tells them they're going to be cast upon this island. And lo and behold, everything comes out just like the Lord had told Paul. But he believed God. That's the point. The purpose of the gift of faith. Let's look at this. God uses those with the gift of faith for various purposes within the church. The faith gifted must be commissioned to start a new work of ministry. They may be involved in church plants, mission works, or new ministries within the local church. Also, the faith gift has a supernatural ability to live by faith in their personal lives, overcoming obstacles and hardship with steady resolve, and experiencing God doing miraculous things in and through them. Other Christians witnessing such a display of faith will be encouraged and will have their faith strengthened. Often, the gift of faith is there to help others grow in their faith. Whenever Brother Cody Powers was here with us, you remember Cody Powers, he's in Lagos, Nigeria now. He's already there. But he came through our church and he was presenting his ministry going to Nigeria. And we had a whole week with him. They had their RV out here behind the church. And so they were staying here. We had a whole week with them. And I'll say this. I don't know that I've ever become good friends with someone so fast. We just really hit it off. We were able to spend some time with them and really became friends in a way that it happened so quickly, I was kind of amazed. But we still even communicate and talk pretty often now, even though he's in Nigeria and he's like 9 hours different. But when he was here, he said something to me. And so I'll just tell you this. I'm analytical in my thinking. Like, I like to have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. I'm a planner. I like to plan and have things sorted out. I'm one of those that I don't like to do anything until, like, we have the money and the plan to do it. Does that make sense? Is anyone else like that? They're just, you know, like, they're just a plan. That's just how I am. But he sat here, and he'd only been on deputation for a few months, and he told me, he said, I believe that. I said, well, how long are you going to be on deputation? Because most missionaries, you know, it's like, oh, well, 2 to 4 years, and we'll see. And when we're at so much percentage of our income, then we're going to go to the field because that is when we will be able to afford to live there. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's how I would be. I'd say, look, I got to have X amount of support to be able to go over there and live. I think that's reasonable. I think anything in our life, we're to approach it with sort of, you know, a little bit of wisdom there and say, okay, I've got to reach this amount and then we can go over. But that's not how Cody looked at it at all. He said, I believe God's going to have us in Nigeria by the end of the year. And I said, do you have enough support? He said, no. But I believe that God's going to get us to Nigeria by the end of the year. And so his plan, he was going to go for several more weeks there. And he called me one day and he said, hey, I just feel really burdened about this. The Lord's told me we're going to go to Nigeria by this date. Well, now me, the planner, and honestly caring for him and wanting him to have everything, I said, Brother Cody, do you have all your support yet? He said, no. And at the time, our church hadn't even taken him on for support because you know why? I was waiting on the numbers to come through so I could guarantee that we could support him. We do support him now, but I was waiting on our funds to come because that's how I operate. And so we do support him now. But anyway, he said, no. He said, I don't care what we have in support. We're going on this date. That's when the Lord wants us. And I said, okay. And I mean, I hang up the phone and I'm going, man, that guy's got some faith. Right? 2 weeks or so, maybe 3 weeks, I don't remember, before he had to go over there. I talked to him again. He says, yep, we're leaving in 3 weeks. I said, do you have all your support? He said, no, I don't even have the money for the plane tickets. But we're going in 3 weeks. I said, well, Cody, what about all the stuff that, you know, you need when you get over there? You're gonna, because they needed like something like $30,000 worth of stuff. They're basically selling everything they have here. They're getting on a plane, they're going over there, and then they got to buy a vehicle, and they got to have you know, you're in Lagos, Nigeria, you need an air conditioner, and there's another thing you need there, it's called a generator, because the power just goes on and off, and they got a couple of kids. And anyway, they needed this big stack of money and to be able to get there. And he's like, nah, we're going. You know what happened? I'm not kidding you. He went to a camp meeting. And in that camp meeting, he wasn't even supposed to really be there. He just kind of showed up. And in the camp meeting, the director said, hey, Brother Cody, come on up here to the front. We're going to pray over you. And we just want you to present your ministry. You know, I don't know what all was said there. I wasn't at the meeting. But I know this. He walked out of that meeting with enough money for all of his plane tickets and a bunch of the other stuff. About 2 weeks later, a couple of very generous Christian people wrote him a large check for like $25,000 or something like that. And he got all the money he needed. And he got on that plane the day he said he was going to get on the plane. And I'm just telling you, that is someone who has the gift of faith. He may not even know. I've never talked to him about whether he has the gift of faith or not. But he just felt like, you know what, Lord, the Lord wants us in Nigeria. We're going to go. And he's there today. I don't know. I'm not even going to ask him what his support is anymore. I don't think he cares. But he had the gift of faith. Others in the scripture also had the gift of faith. I gave you Stephen here. Bible character had this gift. Oh, and by the way, God will do great things through a person like that. That's able just to trust him and go. And just put everything in God's hands and say, this is how it's going to be. And we should all be that way. But when I say that, you know, we're all saved by faith and we all are supposed to live by faith. And we're supposed to grow in faith and increase in faith. There are some among us who have special faith. That's what I'm saying. So I gave you Stephen here. He had special faith. In Acts chapter 6 and in verse 5, he's described as a man who had was full of faith. And he absolutely was. He actually went to his last days preaching, looking up to heaven and seeing Jesus as he dies while he's being stoned. He was a man of faith. But look in Matthew chapter 8, because we have a centurion that exercised faith. Matthew chapter 8, and the centurion, again, wasn't a believer when he was exercising the faith, so this is sort of a saving faith belief. But it's just, again, it's another, it's a time when Jesus only marveled, to my knowledge, two times. Here's one of them, okay? Matthew 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And so here's what this man does. He says, Lord, you can't come in my house. I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. But I believe if you can come to my house and heal him, I believe you can heal him from right here. I believe all you got to do is say the word. And so he's exercising great faith in the Lord. He says, if you'll just say the word, it will be done. And the Lord marvels and says, this is a centurion, this is a Gentile. He says, I haven't even found this great faith in my people in Israel. Another one I wrote down for you here is the Apostle John. Probably all the main characters, apostles, etc., had the gift of faith. But if you compare, and you can do this, we can do it, we have time. Look over at Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24. And this is, of course, the resurrection of Christ here, Luke 24. And just look at verse number 1 with me. Just another, someone who had faith that others did not have. Okay. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. It's interesting, these angels, they said, they just assumed, you're looking for a living man. That's your problem. You're looking for a living man in the tomb. And the Lord had spoken to them about going into the grave and then being raised from the dead. But they weren't getting it yet. And the scriptures actually tell us that they weren't getting it yet. But he says, hey, here's your problem. You're looking for someone who's alive. And this is a place where you find dead people. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? So they had heard, saying the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. All right, so they remembered his words. They remembered the teaching and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now the 11 are the 11 apostles, the heroes of faith that walked with Jesus every day. They go back and they tell them what had happened. Jesus is not in the grave. An angel is there. He told us, don't look for living people in tombs. Bad idea, because Jesus isn't here. He's risen. Don't you remember what he said in Galilee? And they remember, they rehearse all this to the disciples, the apostles. Notice this, verse 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. I mean, these are the disciples, and they didn't believe. And some of them, like Thomas, he wouldn't believe until the Lord actually showed up and presented himself right before him. But John believed. Look over at John 20. It's like, you know, Luke writes his gospel, and he just says they didn't believe. And John's like, listen, when I write mine, I'm going to make sure everyone knows I did believe, okay? I'm joking a little bit. You understand the scriptures are given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But there are some details here that John gives that I find a little bit humorous. So John 20, John believed what others thought to be idle tales. Same story, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John, okay? So she comes to Peter and John and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, that's John, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Now, again, I don't know how you read the Bible, but isn't it somewhat humorous that John just had to put that he outran Peter? Like, it was a foot, it turned into a competition and a foot race, and John won. Yeah, he outran him. And he, stooping down, looked in and saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Went he not in. And cometh Simon Peter following him, like a long time after, right? and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lying, the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together and placed by himself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture. Now they had been taught, but they didn't know it. They didn't understand it. They knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So just an example there of where one believed where 10 others did not. All right. And so the gift of faith. It's important that we all have faith. We're growing in faith. But it's a wonderful thing that God has placed people in the church that have faith. And I'll tell you this, it's a huge encouragement to a pastor. Pastors a lot of times are gifted with the gift of the prophet. And so it's like yay or nay. It's yes or no. It's good or evil. A lot of times, again, we're all supposed to have faith. But it can turn pretty doomsday pretty quick to the prophet. And so it's wonderful for people to come along and say, hey, God's doing something here. I can see where this is going. I have faith that it's happening. And so God's placed people in the church for this purpose. All right, so let's look at some characteristics. And again, I don't have my clicker, so you just have to listen to me. But characteristics of those with the gift of faith. Was the Bible characters, were they blanks for you as well, or are they already in there? They were blanks. Okay, so Stephen was the first one. Stephen possessed the gift of faith. And then the Apostle John was the second one there in that third little paragraph. The Apostle John may have had this gift. All right, so some characteristics of those with the gift of faith. Number one, Spirit-given faith allows people to trust God in difficult and demanding ways. And just not to puff up Brother Powers, but just thinking about a guy who's going to move himself, his wife, and two little bitty children to Lagos, Nigeria, and just expect that God's going to provide and just act on that and go. That's believing in God in difficult and demanding ways. Where I'll just tell you, like, my thing would have been to add it all up first, you know, to my discredit. Miss Lily, did you get that one? You had your hand up. The Apostle John, or you can just put John. But it would be... Oh, Centurion. I didn't have that one underlined on mine. C-E-N-T-U-R-I-O-N. Sorry, I copy and paste... And try to I make your notes right off of mine, but I did not have I do the blanks later. I didn't have that one marked. So it's Stephen, Centurion, Apostle John. All right, so number one then, difficult and demanding ways. Number two, the gift of faith is primarily expressed toward God through prayer and appealing to and trusting God to do that which is beyond his normal provision. People with the gift of faith ask great things of God. They expect great things of him. And we're told to do that. We're told to expect great things of God and to come boldly to the throne of grace. But that takes faith. Number three, those with the gift of faith are people of vision with firm convictions that God will bring it to pass. People of vision. I know some guys that, you know, I know pastors, I know folks that like kind of head of Bible colleges and such that went out and saw a flat piece of ground with nothing on it and just said, God's going to build something here. He's going to build a church here. He's going to build a school here. They just have great vision. And then they pray, and then they get to work, and they watch God work. And can I tell you, God will do that for every one of us. When we have a vision for God, and then we're not going to demand. I mean, we're going to follow God. We're not going to get out in front of him. But when we see what he's wanting to do, and we act, and we pray, and he'll work. That's what he does. Number four, the gift of faith allows believers to dream great dreams and are very confident in achieving great things for the glory of God. You know, what kept Joseph running all those years when he was in Potiphar's house or in the prison? He kept going back to those dreams that God had given him. That one day he would be a leader and others would bow to him. That he would, that God would use him in some mighty way. He kept going back to those dreams. I always think about Joseph's a great example, because how many of us, you've been in prison for a couple years, you're going to start, we might say, losing faith. Joseph didn't. Just kept going back to what God had told him. Number five, those with the gift of faith trust in God's faithfulness for a bright future, even when facing significant problems. Those with the gift of faith trust in God's faithfulness for a bright future, even when facing significant problems. Again, that's that whole, we'll see how the Lord works this out. All right, then some misunderstandings and precautions. The gift of faith is not the faith that is to characterize every Christian's life. So basically, another way to say, we're not exempt from having faith. And we all should be growing in faith, trusting in God. Don't ever say, well, I'll leave someone else to believe in that stuff. No. We're all supposed to have faith. But you'll recognize people in your life that just... They just step out on faith fearlessly. Number two, the gift of faith is not merely believing God's word to be true. Now, be careful, not merely believing God's word to be true. God's word is true. We are to believe that. That's just different than the gift of faith. That's just faith in God's word we should all have. Number three, people with the gift of faith are so confident, despite overwhelming circumstances, that others might view them as being foolish. Are you sure you don't want to add up the support one more time? Sure you don't want to call, make sure, you know. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, we're going to get into some of that next week. That's great insight. So, gift of administration, the gift of faith, they're not always going to get along. Because the gift of faith just wants to step out there and, you know, lasso the tornado or whatever. And the administrator is like, have you seen the spreadsheet? You know? And so they're not always going to get along. But I'll tell you this, that it is huge protection for the church. But also, it's how the church moves and covers the bases along the way. So yeah, wonderful stuff. Yep. Okay, that was number three. Number four, those with the gift of faith are sometimes viewed as being unrealistic, because they frequently labor for long periods of time without any visible results. I mean, Joseph. Need we say any more? All right, so then where does faith gifted serve best in the church? I would just say everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere God puts them, we need them. And so that's the gift of faith. Well, we'll stop there this morning. Next week, we're going to just have a I'm going to give you a page that's got them all kind of summarized, and we're just going to talk about some of those ins and outs, how they work together, and sometimes against one another, but for God's purposes. And so we'll look at that next week. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed from Sunday school today. Lord, thank you for what you do in the church. Lord, you've designed it perfectly. And Lord, if we just all understand how you've made us and put us together, and then we would all be willing to serve you with these gifts. Father, we just know you could do great things. We thank you for those with the gift of faith. And Lord, they're encouraging and And Father, they're good examples for all of us, as we all need to have faith and exercise faith regularly. I pray today, Lord, that you would just bless the remainder of our time together. Be with us in the morning service, Lord, as we look at your graciousness. Father, I pray you'd help us to be thankful, but also just willing, willing to accept your graciousness. Lord, help us throughout the day. Just bless and get all the honor and glory. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.